Dave, I think you had one.
Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that light check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. What was that, Eddie? I didn't get all that. Say that again.
W4NTQ. How do you hear this radio? What comes in a repeater is I've been in and out a year or so here. I just wonder how you hear this. It starts off with a handheld on.
Starts off with a what?
I don't hear it good. When you get 99 years old, you don't hear it very much. It's fast. Y'all talk all day. That's one reason I don't check. I listen a lot, but I don't say much. Or...
Okay, Eddie, let me pick up this check-in. We'll be back in just a second. Go ahead, check-in.
Dave, and please check in. Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, KO4NUE. Please also check in my wife, Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo Yankee Papa, Chad Nana in Campobello, and tell Larry to stay on frequency after the net and catch up with him for a little bit. Thank you for calling the net, Dave.
No problem. Net control like to recognize. KO4NUE, that's Chad. Bring with him KO4RYP, that's Miss Anna. And they are in Campobello. Good to have you with us tonight this evening. And Larry, I hope you heard that. Hang around after the net. Chad's got something he wants to chat with you about. And Eddie, did you have anything else? If you did, go ahead. W4NTQ, W4DJW, in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
DJW, W4NTQ. No, I just... See, if this thing's putting out is what it's ought to. I ought to be putting some little power out of our repeater, but this junk pile I got a ham through here. And I was just worried if it was getting into the repeater.
It is, Eddie. It is 100% full scale. I'm watching the scale while you're talking. It's full scale and it's full quieting. So no concerns about how your radio is doing. It also doesn't have that hum in it that it used to have a long time ago. Full scale, full quieting, no hum. Sounds good, Eddie. Okay, Larry, back to you. KK4JBQ, W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
I'm glad you got that all taken care of. It was, what we're doing right here and right now is intriguing. It really is. It's not just one thing happening over and over again. Each one of us has a different radio. Each one of us is located in a different place. Each one of us has a different antenna. And yada, yada. And it still works. I can explain, and understand how it works, but I'm still fascinated. I'm just fascinated sometimes with what we've come up with, And I think the older I get, the closer I come to understanding that it's the small things, the things we think we have got a handle on, that are deeper and wider than we are aware. Every once in a while, we're taught that lesson. Every once in a while, things get out of whack and threaten to fly apart because of something we did not understand. So, as hot as folks are to get into a discussion, dare I say an argument, with other people about how they feel about or stand on a certain issue, it's the better part of valor, to use an old phrase, the better part of valor just to keep your mouth shut and sample a little bit from here and a little bit from there and then make up your own mind. That's my opinion. K KK4 JBQ.
W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. You know, that's the way I was all the time, too. Most of the time I was working, is just keep your head down, stay busy, it'll take care of itself. But I always, there's always this one thing that stuck in the back of my mind that my mother told me when I was a child, and she said that my grandfather told her that she has to have an opinion. She can't not have an opinion. I guess he asked her before, and I might have told you this before, but he asked her what her opinion was about the politics during that day, and she most likely just wanted to avoid it, right? And he told her she had to have an opinion. Because I remember back in those days, they used to have big arguments about it between my cousins and my aunts and my uncles, and everybody got along. It's like when I was living in France, too. They used to pound on the desk in a meeting and be really, really hard on each other in the meeting, and then they'd go out and have a wine together at lunch, right? They drink two bottles of wine together, and they just blow it off, but they were passionate about what they thought about. And that's the way I think my grandfather was. I never met my grandfather. He died a month before I was born. But I think he was passionate about that. And a lot of the times I'm thinking, I usually avoided ever getting into any hassle with anything like that. I didn't want the hassle. I figured there's other ways to get what you wanted. But then I saw in one of the shows that I was watching where a guy, Some guy, he was drunk in a bar, and he got in a fight. And the guy that he lost the fight to took his hat. And he came back the next day to get his hat. And the bartender said, "Wouldn't it be easier just to go get you, just go buy you another hat?" And the guy looked at him and said, "Yes, it would be easier for me to go buy another hat. But it's not easier I'm looking for." So sometimes it pays not to be looking for easy. Right. It's a lot of times it pays to be looking for easy. But I think back in my grandfather's day, when they used to have passionate arguments and they would learn from each other and they would change each other's opinion back and forth because they were passionate about it. And over in France, they would pound the desk because they were passionate about what was right, what was the right way to do it, and what was the wrong way to do it. And in the end, they came out with the best product. I remember a boss that I had at a bank one time told me, "If we always agree, there's one too many of us. So you can't always agree. If you always agree, one of you aren't needed." KK4JBQ, W4DJW, the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
Some wisdom there. I hope people are listening. You know, sometimes if you have too many things on your plate, you'll miss some important matters in life. And that's not to say that everything I'm involved in is that important, of course. But I agree with you. It's important to have an opinion. It's also important to take your time in forming that opinion. Forming as in putting things together. To have an informed opinion. Yeah, that's a better use of the language. And that's where I think we're falling down. To blithely take the opinions of people around you, you know, the prevailing opinion, what's blowing in the wind, if you will. Yeah, that's just too easy. It's just, and it's not often the best path forward. Take it easy and get more information. And as it relates to you and your life and the things that you find to be important, well, that's what your opinion will be. It's based on your particular outlook on things. And we are made as individuals. We're not, you know, there's some things in nature like beehives. There are three jobs in a beehive. You don't believe me, look it up. If there's any question on that, there's three jobs. One is to replace those worker bees that don't make it back to the hive. That's the queen's job. And then there's the drones who service the queen. And then there's the worker bees. You break it down into something simple like that, it's maybe easy to understand how they're in some organized civilization, you know, a beehive is a civilization of sorts. Things can be made very simple. But we are all made individual and unique. And we have, whether we're granted that by the world around us or not, we are going to have an opinion. Here, it matters. And I'm so proud to be here. And I can have my opinion. And I feel that it's my obligation to let others have their opinion. We don't always have to agree. Sometimes the real fun in life can be having a disagreement about something, as long as it doesn't raise to, you know, to a level where we have to think of obliterating the opposite opinion. KK4JPQ.
Well, just one more input on that, that I think about. You know, ants are a lot like bees too. They've got a specific function that they perform. Everybody in the colony has a specific function, and there are very few. And they, I saw one time a stat on how many ants there were per humans, and I think there's over 1 million ants on planet Earth for every human that there is. So they're a lot more successful than we are, right? There's over 1 million ants for every human that there is on this planet. So they're really, really successful, but every now and then they mess up. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but every now and then they get into what is called a death march. And what it is they put down pheromones that get followed by the other worker ants that are going out to collect, you know, the food that they take underground, and it starts rotting, and then they eat off of the fungus that grows off of it. But they put pheromones out, which the other ants follow. Well, sometimes, every now and then, they make a loop. They make a circle. And they keep putting down pheromones, and they keep walking in that circle. And that circle gets bigger and bigger, and they put more and more pheromones out. And the circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And they will walk themselves. The whole colony will walk itself till it's all dead. The whole colony dies because they're going around in circles. So every now and then, when you're messing up, you got to jolt yourself out of the death march, right? That happens to humans too, right? And that's my last little piece of that is, even something as simple as an ant can mess up, and it can be devastating. KK4JBQ W4DJW.
K4FKQ.
Go ahead.
I'm late to the party, gentlemen, but just thought y'all might know if you've got a clear view to the north. Over here in 6 Mile, we are seeing the aurora borealis tonight.
And can I get that call sign? I'd like to get you checked into the net, and I do appreciate you telling us about that. And, Larry, we better wrap it up because we're going to have to go outside and look. Can I get your call sign?
Both Alpha 4, Foxtrot, Kilo, Quebec, Jim, and 6 Mile, no traffic, no roundtable except for that one little piece of announcement.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much. I was hoping somebody would poke their head in the door and tell us when the aurora came up. So you got anything else, Larry? I'm wanting to go outside and watch the northern sky.
All I have to say is thank you, Dave, for bringing us all together here tonight and for holding this little shindig. I've been happy to be a part of it. You have yourself a good night and a great weekend. KK4JBQ, I'm clear.
All right, Larry, and as usual, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I thoroughly enjoy our sessions. I appreciate you hanging around for that RACG portion. I think when we have quick nets and you decide to come in there and hold it up for second shift, that's when we get into the best conversations. KK4JBQ, W4DJW, and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
W4DJW, hopefully a quick one here, Dave. Kilo 4, Hotel Romeo, AK4HR. Name is Mike. Location is at home in Simpsonville. No traffic, no comments. Enjoyed listening to you and Larry. Heard Chad's check in there. Good to hear some familiar voices as usual on a Friday night. But Dave, appreciate it from where I am. But 73 to you and everyone. That. Talk to you again soon.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize our first Monday of the month Net Control operator, AK4HR, Mike in Simpsonville. Good to have you as tonight, Mike. Hope you're doing well. One last call, all the way through the alphabet. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Good night. It's been nice listening. They all carry on there.
Well, do appreciate that, Eddie. And if you got visibility to the northern skies, take a peek out there and see if you can see the Aurora Borealis. That's where I'm going. And have I missed anyone for comments or have I missed any check-ins? Call W4DJW.
W4NTQ.
Okay, be sure and stop back by tomorrow night where I'll be calling Ned again tomorrow night. And this thing is supposed to go on for 2 days, so you can pass your experiences on tomorrow night. Be sure and check in tomorrow. Please stand by for my Net report. This is W4DJW now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73 and good night.
4JBQ, KO4NUE.
Hey, KK4JBQ here.
What's going on with you, bud? Been a while since I've talked with you. How are you?
We are doing just fine. Donna is putting up with me and all the shenanigans that I get into. And it's so easy to put up with her. How about you?
Been a interesting day today. Watched my daughter graduate at Clemson University today, so that's the last one out of college, and it was kind of a unique experience, I guess. Feel a little weird being around all them Clemson people all day, but hey, it is what it is, right?
If I could, I don't know if I should make an assumption about college people, but I know it was different when I went to school. I was what they called a non-traditional student. I was in my 40s, and everyone else was 20 to 25 years younger than me. I guess I realized in short order that I had a different purpose. My purpose was to squeeze every bit of intelligence out of the college experience that I could. I had dreamed of going to school, and my dream had to be forestalled. I started, made it about halfway through the freshman year, and life changed. Changed so drastically that I had to leave school and get a new job, and it would be almost 30 years before I could go back and finish. But I was able to do that finally, and while it certainly made my graduation was different for me than your daughter's graduation was for her. And you're looking on that institution and that particular ceremony and everything. It's just a different kind of thing, an experience for a human being. I'm proud to that the last one to leave the nest, if you will, is in, well, you just, how can I say it? A good job. Very good job. Three healthy, intelligent, powerful human beings. I just have to think of it that way. I don't know what I'm saying in its entirety, but I'm sure they're all of that. KK4JBQ.
Now, what's KO4NUE? Well, like I said, it was just interesting to see the graduation, and then we all got together afterwards and went up to a restaurant up in Hendersonville, spent some time together with the family, and then came on back, and, you know, hadn't been back long, so I figured I'd get on radio for a little bit, and been messing around in HF bands a little bit tonight. Figured I'd check in and see what's going on.
There are a few things that are limiting me to 2 meters right now. One of them, you know, the antenna situation. And I suppose it's something I'm missing. But I try my best to make what I'm able to experience, you know, all that it can be. You know, it may seem strange, but for years, I never kept the log. I don't know who my first contact was. I know I had one. I don't know. Many things, can't refer to any record of it, you see. But then I decided about a year and a half ago that I wanted to make a record. I wanted to write it down. I wanted to keep a log. And so I've done that, and I've refined it over time to indicate certain things to me, and there are notes in the margin, you know, where it didn't actually fit the form of keeping a log, but other things that I wanted to remember. And I just a few days ago, I was looking at it and looked over some of the events that I cared to record in the log that weren't the date, the time, the frequency, and, you know, the number of check-ins on that particular net. But anyway, it all makes sense now. Keeping logs is a good idea. KK4JBQ.
And I was trying to find my logbook tonight, as a matter of fact, and was not successful. I have no idea where I put it. It's in here somewhere. I'll run across it sometime or another. But at any rate, well, it's good talking with you. I just want to check in with you for a few minutes. It's been a while since I've talked with you. And just drop by and say hello for a little bit. Make sure you're doing well.
I'm working still. I'm kind of looking through a window into another room. Yeah, it kind of feels that way to me, you know. And in that other room, I see myself not able to get around too well. And things that are a bit troubling. And I'm a real old man. And it's not pretty to look at. I just want you to know it's not. So the battle from here on is to remain as active as one can be, as interested in the rest of the world as one can be, and to appreciate the opportunity that the last years present, the opportunity to look back and appreciate what you've been able to accomplish, to achieve, and in some places what you've been able to give. And I'm just a bystander to these two rooms that I'm speaking about in your life, just a bystander. But I can see that a great deal of accomplishment, a great deal of that you've given to the world, not just copies of yourself. That's not what children are. But really fine people. And just as one of the other human beings here, I appreciate the job that parents like you do to raise good kids. and to give them a good start in life. Hats off to you. KK4JBQ.
Well, I was talking with her last week. I talk with her from time to time and, you know, just keep check on her and whatnot. But she's got her house and new husband, or, well, her only husband, down in Anderson. So she's got some raised beds in the back, and she's got some cucumbers and tomatoes and some herbs and stuff like that growing in the back. So she calls me to talk about her tomatoes and small talk and, you know, interesting to hear her take on her first garden, you know. But she's quite the character. I honestly, I think she's an exact copy of me and the boys. I don't know what they are really, but I think my daughter's just like me, if you want to know the truth.
I meant you'd find it to be like that. That's interesting. And of course you have reasons that might be difficult to explain why you feel that way. Affinity, since I've not had any children, I'm trying to understand that. The affinity that you have for an individual child and how you can feel that, and I think what you're trying to say that you have imprinted on her a certain character or a certain, I don't know, could even be a manner of speaking, I don't know. But it's imprinting. That's what parents do. And they do that from the very moment they, you know, you meet up. You know, when you first walk in the room, they imprint with mom first, of course. But they imprint with dad, too. And so can I guess that she was daddy's girl, in a sense?
Yeah. I'm not sure it was. Well, yeah, I'd say so. I was the only daughter, you know. First 5, 6, 8 years of her life, I'd be just in the desert or somewhere else in another country, you know, but, I think she really sees the detail in things and sees the inobscure and the things that, you know, most people don't think matters. But I think she understands that those things matter quite a bit. And my two sons, they don't see like that, I guess. But she's definitely her father's daughter. So I'm quite proud of that, actually.
How you said what you just said, it pretty much explains it, you know. When your sons were not watching you and how you conduct yourself and how you spoke about things and how you viewed the world and such as that, when they weren't, she was. And now, since she has taken hold of the reins of life, so to speak, she's on her own, she and her husband, she starts to shine. And her light looks a lot like your light. I can see that. I can really see that. And thank you, because, you know, diminishes a person. I think I have a unique view on things. Unless you find yourself there, and unless you wanted it so bad that I wanted children bad. And so it's everybody feels differently about that, I suppose. Some children are welcomed as real treasures, and others are not. When you do right by them, my belief is that you will be greatly rewarded in life. And you've already become a grandpa, and so you know what one of those rewards is, to see your grandson. What a marvelous impression that has made on you. So let me ask, do you know, can you sense any difference that it's made in you just being a grandpa so far? I mean,
absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, I enjoy being with my grandson. He's so young. But I tell you what has been the most pleasurable thing for me is to, let me get this clear here, that I love my grandson. But watching my son step up to the responsibility of being a father, and to watch his mindset change and understand the burden and the responsibility that takes, and to continue to see him step up to that. We were talking today, as a matter of fact, and the tornado that hit Anderson the other night got his house pretty bad. So he's been without power for 2 or 3 days. And trees all over the place. And he called today and said, Daddy, I need to borrow one of your chainsaws. I kind of hesitated for a minute, and he said, Daddy, what's wrong? You don't want me using your chainsaw? I said, no, son, that's not that at all. I said, it's just, I've got some pretty powerful saws, and I've made some modifications to them because of the sawmill and all that. And they'll get away from you if you're not careful. And he hasn't run a saw maybe once or twice his whole life, you know, so I tried to explain that to him, and he says, Daddy, I will figure it out. Somehow I will figure it out. And I thought to myself, you know, that's an amazing thing to hear my son say that. You know, I don't know how to do it, but I got to do it. So I had a little extra money saved up, so I just went and bought him a derated chainsaw, I call it. Something that won't hurt him so bad if it gets out of hand. So that's kind of neat to see, to watch that transition, and to see that, understand that, you know, my grandson and his wife is creating that field that's changing him into a man. And that's an amazing thing to see as a father. It really is.
All I can say is thank you for allowing me a little peek into what it's like. I imagined as much, and I imagine much more. You've got a great deal of joy, real joy, coming your way. And you and Anna have both been good parents, I'm sure. And consequently, your children will be good parents. What we pass on is not, you know, it's not entirely in the genes, you know. And children watch. I can remember so well the things that I saw before I could understand what they were. I do remember clearly being out of touch with the world, and because I grew up at a time and with a family where it truly was children were meant to be seen and not heard. And I had an impediment as well. I could not get my thoughts clearly stated. I stuttered terribly and could not get beyond three or four hard to say words. And of course, it's clear that I got past that. But I remember so well what it was like not understanding the world, and so I became a real observer. I would only understand what I could see and interpret in my own way. And of course, there's been corrections made over time, and I got a pretty good handle. Not perfect, of course, but a pretty good handle on what life is like and what life is meant to be. But I do miss those great, I don't know what to call it, a stage. You know, when you became a grandfather, you knew it was a big thing. You knew it was a marvelous thing, but you didn't have a grip on it. And now you're getting the grip. Now you're getting the full experience of holding not a third party, you know, it's you, your son, and then this third party. No, this is a part of your stream of life, this child. And it goes on beyond your inevitable life and your extension into the world. Now, that may be too philosophical, I don't know, but I think it's really what we feel in our gut, a continuation. It's a big thing. It's a wonderful thing. And thank you for letting me have a little peek. KK4JBQ.
On a lighter note, so I've gotten, you know, my son's taking over the shop, and I'm just kind of, you know, invested in the radio club pretty big, and, well, I decided I'm just going to get pretty, you know, involved with the American Legion. So we had elections. And I ran for one of the officer position and got it. So one of our duties is the American Legion raises money for scholarship. Everything we raise money for goes to the community, you know. So we had competition for scholarships this week with one of the local high schools. So four of the officers went to this high school, and we had to sat on a board, and we interviewed the five young ladies that came to, you know, for the interview, and we, you know, basically just asked a bunch of questions. So I want to tell you about one or two of them if you got a minute.
I've got all the time in the world.
I thought this was very interesting. So the scholarship is for $1,000, and the American Legion, you know, gives the, it's got to be an 11th or 12th grader, male or female. And firstly, I found it interesting that all five candidates were females, and not sure why that was. But we sat down, first time I've ever been on, you know, one of these, you know, dealing with 11th and 12th graders, especially young ladies, you know. So I asked the commander, who's done this for years, I said, so what kind of questions can we ask these young ladies for, you know, for the scholarship? And he says, well, it's our money. Ask them what you want. And I said, Okay. So, first lady, first young lady gets up, and, you know, the commander's getting all the paperwork ready. So I went and got her and brought her into the room, and she sat at this oval table across from the four of us. I said, so while the commander's getting your paperwork ready, I got some questions for you. And she was very nervous. And I said, okay, first question is, I said, who is our commander-in-chief? Hear this long pause I'm giving you? That was her response. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness. I don't know who the commander-in-chief was. So, let me make sure I got it. So the rest of the questionnaire is, Larry, let me change radios. Give me just a second here, bud. Hear me, Carol 4 in UE.
I got you. Bye, bye, bye.
Did not know who the commander-in-chief was, and tried to just stumble her way through, and was just, you know, trying to drop some hints to for us to kind of help. And I just told her, no. If you don't know, say you don't know. And she said, I'm sorry, I don't know who the commander-in-chief is. And so she sat down, and the commander asked some questions about her grades and some of the volunteer stuff that she did. And I said, we all asked a couple questions as we went around. And I asked her, I said, what is our Second Amendment, and what are your views on that? And they had no idea what the Second Amendment was or what it was about. Came dressed in a t-shirt. Hair was haphazard. I mean, just a wreck, train wreck. So I just, you know, we had a whole little score section, how polite they are, how knowledgeable they were, and, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, don't know who the commander-in-chief is and don't know what the Second Amendment is. I just quit asking questions at that point, and we kind of moved on to the next young lady. On the first young lady before we moved to the second, third one.
I appreciate your letting me in on this little vignette of life. I'm also shocked. I've heard rumors that they aren't teaching children the way we were taught, and this is proof of it. 11th, 12th grade, when I was going to school, they also called that junior and senior in high school. And by that time, I'd had at least two civics classes where we were taught not only about the current way things work, but also how things began and how they got to the place where we find ourselves. You know, history is important, as well as the current knowledge. How do we get there? Or how did we get where we are? We were taught out of a book. There are such books as that, I'm sure, still printed. But the importance of those things, you and I hold them in very high esteem. Just the concepts, not necessarily the people involved currently, but the concepts of the commander-in-chief. And over time, you have a different understanding of it because that individual, since I have not served, that person was not my commander-in-chief. It is the nation's commander-in-chief. It's the commander-in-chief of the armed services, all of them. But you have a unique
I would think. Perspective on that. And it, I can only imagine that, that was an affront. But it's not that girl's fault. I hope you agree that it is not that girl's fault. The fault is in ourselves. Not you or me individually, but we as a whole have not seen it so important to hold up to our population, our entire population, what those things mean, where they originated, why they're important, critical. I'm trying to look for another. All I can say is I'm disgusted. I wish I had another word for it. But I still think we are, the fault is far and wide, KK4JBQ.
You know, it was with much struggle. She, you know, eventually kind of muttered a couple of words out that kind of made sense. But it was, you know, it was a struggle as far as, you know, who he was. And this Second Amendment was just a major struggle. So we come to the second young lady, and I, you know, directly noticed that, you know, the young ladies knew the interviews were happening. So I immediately noticed a difference in appearance. You know, she was dressed nicely, had on nice clothes, very congenial, very polite, yes sir, no sir. And, you know, so I said, you know, started the introduction while commander and was, you know, getting the paperwork ready, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I asked her the same question, you know. Well, actually, the commander did. He asked, you know, who the commander-in-chief was. And she knew. And I asked about the Second Amendment. And she immediately responded with, you know, that's the right to bear arms. And, you know, asked her how she felt about that. And one of the questions was current events. And I asked her, you know, there are two major events happening in the world right now. What are they? Pick one and give me your opinion on it. And that didn't go too well. She kind of, you know, knew that the two wars were going on, but instead of choosing the war to talk about, she talked about the protests on campus, which that's okay. You know, it's about the war, I guess. But, you know, she got a little bit higher score, but, you know, was starting to move up a little bit, so. Ladies. Third or fourth, I forget which one it was. You know, same question. And I ask her, you know, what is the Second Amendment and how do you feel about that? And she said, well, let me tell you, I'm on the shooting team here at the high school. Now, imagine that. A high school with a shooting team. And I just grinned from ear to ear when she said that. And I said, so what, you know, I gotta ask, what is your, you know, what's your firearm of choice that you use on the shooting team? You know, is it a rifle, a pistol? And, you know, this got all excited. And she said, actually, it's a shotgun. And I just thought, wow, how interesting is that, you know?
Yeah, that is quite a cross-section. You know, sometimes you cut a pie and you open up the first slice of pie and you scoot it out from the rest and you're shocked what's inside the pie. Well, I can only imagine what it was like for the you guys to sit there and I can only imagine what it was like for those teenagers. So she and I'm just trying to imagine her standing and aiming at a target. Tell me more.
So, you know, so I ask her, you know, what, you know, there's some, two major events happening in the world right now globally, and, you know, pick one and give me, you know, give me your comments, and, oh, you know, what you, kind of what you think about that, and she had a pretty good response, actually. I think she realized out of all of the five young ladies that we interviewed, I think she interviewed really quick. She understood real quickly, or real quick, that she was sitting with combat veterans. And I'm not saying that she geared her answers toward that. I think she had a little bit more, she knew she had a little bit more freedom to openly give her opinions on matters that are not normally so free to discuss, you know. And I thought that was very refreshing because she didn't hold back. She did not hold back. And she gave some very interesting views, you know, especially with Israel and Palestine, you know. It was kind of refreshing to hear her views with that, and she had me thinking after the interview, you know. So you go ahead, any questions?
Well, I think I know who won the scholarship. My interest, my concern, if you will, is with either of the other two. No, they shouldn't have come into an interview like that choked as soon as they were asked the first question. You know, didn't understand their situation, did they? Especially the first gal. There's a story there. There's a need there, but not a rational understanding of where she was and who she was talking to and what the results might be. What was she thinking? These are all questions that just are hammering at the door, you know. I see it perhaps as a young woman who has not had the benefit of adult leadership. Maybe that's the wrong word. Adult influence in the right way to make her knowledgeable about the world she lives in, you know. Now, all of us have our own window onto the world. And every bit of that window is made up of our life experiences. You and I are two very different life experiences. But we find so many things in common that the things that are not well understood by both doesn't make a whole lot of difference. We have an outlook that is largely shared. And I don't know, I feel sad in a way for especially the first gal who came in perhaps not knowing who she would be talking to, where they were coming from, in other words. And also how she not been coached on how she should arrive at an interview? If it's not for a scholarship, how about that first job? You know, that's an interview too. How do you conduct yourself? Well, that's a whole big ball of wax that every child should have some tutoring on, some advice on. I have a special concern about that because I didn't have it. My parents, I don't know how they found the jobs that they were in. But they had nothing to give me, you know, no advice, nothing that would help me assess the situation I found myself in. I was totally let loose on the world. I'm starting to say forgive. I understand. It isn't that it's my place to forgive them for not teaching me about the world. They gave me what they knew. The world had changed mightily, and much of it was something that they themselves had not experienced. So I kind of understand where this gal was. I understand her need, perhaps more than she does. And I don't wonder, if you're going to tell me, I don't wonder if the third gal wasn't the recipient of the scholarship.